Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Who's that on the stairwell? It's Luke and Pete. What are they doing? Well, they're kissing. What's that about then?
They're wearing gloves.
They're wearing gloves and they're kissing. Probing, touching, with safety in their minds. It's the Luke Pete Show. We're back for Thursday. How has your life changed in the 3 days that we've not been doing this? I'm wearing odd socks.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm a British eccentric.
You're also wearing a pair of brand new moccasins.
Yeah.
This, I mean, we need
practically.
I've not noticed these before.
Yeah, they're too big for me. They're not helpful. Really, they're quite slippy. Look at the bottom of them.
I think...
Cheapies, only 20 quid.
Yeah, where'd you buy them from?
Yeah, probably Topman, I can't remember.
I think they might be slippers. I think you're wearing slippers outside.
Look at
the sole on them.
No, they were... Don't touch the bottom of my shoe.
Yeah, I think...
Disgusting.
We need to talk about that.
They're not moccasins. They're not. They were in the shoe... They're on the shoe rack. They would have been in their whole other section, quite frankly. Yeah. And you can't take a picture because I'm wearing odd socks and that would be incredibly embarrassing.
Are you regretting the purchase or are you pleased with the purchase?
I think I could have chosen my size because I'm always a size 8 for some reason. These are too big.
Yeah, it does vary. So think about sizing.
Not massively with my clodders.
Because I've got a pair of these Adidas pumps I've got here.
Pumps.
I'm always a 10.5. And right. I bought 10.5 and these are a bit tight as well.
Yeah.
Oh, no, so you said they're big, are they?
Yeah
these have come up small, so it's weird. These probably fit you perfect.
Is this the most boring start to the show?
No, we've done loads of shit ones than that.
Is Pete wearing slippers and Luke's tight shoes?
Monday was Postman Pat.
It was actually, wasn't it? How have you been, Luke? I went to see
pretty
the
good.
Joker.
Oh, any good?
The Joker.
Is it good?
Ooh, I'm going to spook you out with my makeup.
No one knows if it's any good or not.
I didn't enjoy it.
Okay, so most people say it's...
I think it's... subversive for normies, for people who haven't lived on the internet their whole lives.
Oh, so you found it quite tame?
I found it quite tame, yeah. The most subversive thing is he had a tab on all the way through the film. Cigarette to the American listeners.
So a lot of people have talked, and I haven't seen it, so I might be wrong, but I believe a lot of people have talked about the similarities to it and The King of Comedy and Taxi Driver and that kind of stuff, and the obvious nods to that. And the fact that it's got Joaquin Phoenix in it, and that's the case, I think I'll probably really enjoy it, but I haven't seen it yet.
It's fine. I'm starting to kind of come around to Scorsese's way of thinking. He says he doesn't rate all of these films.
Yeah, but I don't think
chewing gum.
The Scorsese quote wasn't related to a film like that.
No, it was no. But I think to those kind of audiences, it is probably quite genre defining. I think because the people who are obsessed with those kind of films probably wouldn't be necessarily easing themselves into the warm bath of cinema outside of those kind of confines, I would say.
No. So you've got a situation, I think, in lots of artistic endeavours or lots of kind of entertainment sort of places where there are certain things that are obviously targeted at people who don't otherwise have a specific interest in those things. So, for example, you know, you can easily see people who love all those Marvel movies not really being into that many other films.
Because there's enough there to sit them. Like, if you're a fan of comics, you're a fan of comic book films, Jesus Christ, how much media is there? It's a massive money-making endeavor. There's no need to get like break out of those confines. I'm not saying that I've got a great love for fucking cinema, but I watched that film and I was going, it doesn't tick many boxes for me.
Yeah, but Joker isn't the same as the films that Scorsese is talking about. Scorsese is talking about.
I know.
For those who are listening who haven't seen the quotes, he's saying that in his opinion, I think he's saying this anyway. He's saying that cinema is something that is a vehicle for exploring kind of emotions and experiences and how people interact with each other and making sense of different situations in the world around you. But what he said was about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as an example, is that it's almost like a theme park. It's like a theme park ride. Mm. You don't learn anything when you watch it. You go there, you eat your popcorn, you get sort of almost overwhelmed by these pictures and this sound, and it's not cinema as he understands it. And I think that's been dismissed as kind of like old white guy has old white guy opinions, which maybe it partly is. But I was interested to see that Francis Ford Coppola came out this week as well, saying that he agrees with him as well. And they're both, I mean, whatever you think of them and their position, I mean, they're amazing film makers. But what I would say to that, though, is there's something out there for everyone. I don't think you should be necessarily dismissive or derisive of people who like.
No, but I mean, for those people who, you know, you could pile in with Lucas and stuff as well, who's also commented. And I mean, they did gangster movies for men, basically, like with strong male characters, women very much on the periphery. They weren't particularly progressive any of these films, but they were excellent pieces of work. And yes, they probably have got more to do. They've got more about them than the comic book films and stuff. It's not about being dismissive. It's just sort of saying if you're really into the ecosystem of comic book films, you probably find that Joker film quite progressive and quite interesting. It should definitely go in that direction. It should be a bit more psychological.
Is it more of a character study?
More of a character study rather than the explosions and all that bollocks. But maybe I just don't watch a lot of comic book films.
Yeah, I mean, I get sort of shuttled around to most of them, but I think there's plenty of aren't there plenty of movies that Scorsese's done that are a bit different to what you're describing? He made Cape Fear, which is a thriller. He made Shutter Island again, which is like a thriller. He made
Two Men.
Yeah, I suppose they are kind of all male orientated, I guess. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, like I said, there's probably something out there for everyone. There's no sort of shortage of choice these days.
No,
and I know as well as you do, the best movie Martin Scorsese ever made was the one he made with Larry David in the third season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is brilliant.
Did he direct one?
He's just in it. David's in like a movie with Scorsese in Curb.
I'd really like to call Martin Scorsese's eyebrows.
Oh, they're very. But mate, my eyebrows are
so dark.
Mine are going crazy now.
Yeah, no. This is my life 5 years ago. My eyebrows started going wild.
It's a part of growing up that no one tells you about.
Your hair, eyebrows, wild. I've got one hair on my left eyebrow that's the length of the entire eyebrow. It's really weird. It's really spooky.
I'm similar. And the thing is, with the nose, so first of all, there's 2 points on this. One is that no one tells you about this. So when you get at school or whatever, no one says to you, oh yeah, when you get older, you need to get a job or you need to get an education so you can get a better job so you can sort of make more money, whatever. And whatever the kind of your opinion on that, I mean, that's what you're told. I don't say to you, you're going to get hairy fucking eyebrows and they're going to go mad and you're going to have to allocate probably 20 to 30 minutes every week in sorting your ear hair, your nose hair, and your eyebrow hair out. And another thing is,
I was buying a personal trimmer in Boots once, and a man came over and went, you know that trimmer you're buying for your nose hair or your ear hair? Use that head, because it had several different heads, connectors. Oh, right. Use that one.
I used the one that's like a little chimney.
Yeah. He said, use the chimney one rather than the other one.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't need... And he was an older man. I was like, I should have taken his sage advice properly. Instead of just ignoring him.
But I don't know how that deals with... So I can deal with the ear and the nose. The eyebrows... The only way I deal with the eyebrows, I'll be honest with you right now, and I'll stick this out there for everyone listening. The only time my eyebrows get trimmed is when I go and get my hair cut.
Yeah. Yeah, they put the comb over the eyebrow and run the razor over it.
Yeah.
And then they do the...
But I'm too scared to do that myself.
Do they do the flames in your ear?
No.
What? No? You don't do that at your barbers?
Nah. Flames in the ear? What are you talking
about? Yeah, they set fire to a like an oily rag, like a little petrol...
I've never heard of this before. It sounds really
like
dangerous.
It's a Turkish thing. It's like a long stick, and they set fire to a little oily rag, and they just whack it in your ear, and it burns off, it singes your ear hair, and so it curls back on itself.
Is that what you have done?
Yeah.
That's completely passed me by.
The smell of ear hair is rather pungent.
I just use the old...
Did they not make you lean back and they put a hot towel on your face and they massage your fingers and your arms and stuff?
No.
Yeah.
I go to a...
And handy.
I go to like a hair, I go to a hairdresser, not some kind of 18th century Turkish barbers. And by the way, this story caught my eye this week.
Your eye eye?
Australian airline Qantas has completed a test of the longest non-stop passenger flight. As part of research on how the journey could affect pilots, crew and passengers.
Oh, yeah.
It was a 787, which I think is the Dreamliner, isn't it? With 49 people on board, it went 19 hours and 16 minutes from New York to Sydney, which is 10,066 miles.
Wasn't there like, they were just testing out the how discombobulated the people would be?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, presumably there'll be some people who have been employed to sit in coach and there'll be some people employed who'll sit in business class and first class and stuff.
Yeah.
You'd be gutted if you were
doing
that test.
Which one would you choose?
Which one would I choose? Obviously first.
Well, you choose economy because you hate yourself.
I don't actually. I'm willing to spend money on flights.
Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah. But you did once say to me that, you know, that Kurt Cobain said he hates himself and he wants to die. You said, I hate myself and I want to live so I can spend more time hating myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was being flippant, but a couple of my friends heard you report this and thought I was going to do myself in.
But never a truer word said in jest, you know.
Yeah.
But the crucial thing about this long haul 19-hour flight, whatever it was...
Is that it crashed at the end.
No, it was supposed to be 20 hours.
Mountain.
Yeah, no, is that...
Ran out of fuel, idiots.
It can't...
Take all the cargo, can it?
No, there's no plane that I think has the range to do it with a full passenger and cargo load anyway. So, but there is one that goes...
Hot load. I don't like the word load.
That probably says more about
your
internet practices. But you know that currently there is one that goes from Singapore to New York, which is 18 hours, 25 minutes anyway,
average. Yeah.
So I mean, it's not that far different, is it?
No, exactly.
What's the longest flight you've done? I've done London to Singapore, I think.
It'd probably be Tokyo, to be honest, London to Tokyo.
How long's that?
13, 14 hours.
Is it a pain?
Not if you buy Valium off the internet.
You're always on the valleys.
I'm always on the valleys.
Frankie Valley over there.
Everything kept second to the Benzo.
Frankie Valley in the Four Seasons. What Four Seasons? Don't know. I'm asleep the whole time.
Love it.
I thought that was quite interesting. So I wonder, because we keep hearing chat. There's chat all over the place.
Le chat.
You can't go a
je
week
or... Le chat.
You can't go, je regarde le chat.
Je regarde, je coûte le chat.
You can't go more than 2 weeks on the internet without some news article about how there's going to be a hypersonic flight that goes out of the atmosphere, comes back again.
Hypersonic missile. Yeah, I know, it's bullshit, isn't it? Mm. We can't even get SpaceX right. It keep blowing up, isn't it?
It's Elon.
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 He's more concerned about... I won't get into that.
Our mutual... The pedo miner. Murray, our mutual friend, keeps WhatsApp messaging me pretending to be either Elon Musk or the accused pedo miner, going, stop, I'm not a pedo. It's a wonderful character piece. One day I'll play them all out.
Well, he keeps
he's got a range of characters. He's very, very good at them.
So essentially, he keeps...
And one day, I'm keeping them. One day, we'll release a CD.
So he keeps messaging you about the Tam Luan cave rescue?
Yes, pretending to be...
Which happened well over a year ago now.
Pretending to be the pedo miner.
Yeah, when I send you a two-month-old meme, you hate it.
Yeah, but it's a meme that you haven't created. He creates worlds with his pedo miner. And it's Elon Musk.
He did do it.
He does all of Jeff Bezos. He does loads of different characters.
He did a brilliant tweet the other day. I'm just going to look it up. I absolutely loved it. He tweeted the other day saying, I used to love my job as a deer masseur. I felt like $1 million.
Yeah, bangers. Absolute bangers.
It's very good. But it's witty.
You see Bellends getting like millions of retweets for very basic, you know, piece of shit tweets. And like, he doesn't get the love that he deserves. I can't figure it out, really. I can't figure out the algorithm.
Pete Donaldson replacement.
Mate, look,
That'd be a Luke Moore replacement, if anything, to be honest. Good old Murray James. Yeah, give him a follow. He's Murray James on Twitter, but he's five instead of the S at the end.
Yeah.
That's probably why he gets no traction.
Well, I think he's got promotion, so he's tidied up his tweets a little bit.
Like all of you lot who are good at creative stuff, you've got no admin skills.
No.
That's probably why he hasn't got a million followers. Those people who've got a million followers are probably really good at the admin side.
$1 million.
Let's have a little break. After that, we'll do some emails. Email of the evening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Can you be lazy and crazy? Text in.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of my favourite ever videos on the internet is Gwar, the comedy metal band.
Yeah.
I think one of them, sadly, I think, is it Dave Brockie, the main guy? I think he passed away fairly recently, very sadly. But anyway, Gwar, for those who don't know, are this metal band who all dress up in these mad science fiction horror themed suits.
Right.
Have you seen them?
No.
Okay, I'll show you a picture. You'll like them. They're right up your street, Pete.
Gwar, are they like Lordi?
Yeah, oh, sort of. They look like that.
Yeah.
So you can see, cool. Right? They're like comedy.
Yeah, like Lordi, yeah.
Cartoon, yeah, like Lordi. Yeah. And there was a...
I'm sure Gwar fans are going, I went there before Lordi.
I think there's a... I know for a fact, there's a brilliant video on YouTube, and it's from the AV Club, who are this... kind of culture music kind of website.
The Onion, yes. Yeah,
so. And they used to do a series of videos called, I think it's called Recovered,
right?
Where a band would go in there to promote an album or whatever, and they'd have to pick a song off the list.
Yes.
And once that song had been picked, it was chalked off and no one else could do it.
Mm.
So if you were in there late, you were fresh out of luck,
scraps.
Basically. Yeah. And Gwar went in there last one season, famously, and had to do Billy Ocean's Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car. And it is fucking so funny. Get it up on there, plug it in. It's absolutely brilliant.
Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car,
Billy Ocean.
Dreams.
And and the main guy in Gwar, it's dressed in this ridiculous outfit, of course. He goes off on one about how the Billy Ocean lyrics are absolutely ridiculous. He says, I'll be your long-time lover, get it while you can. And he's like, why would I have to get it while I can? There it is. Don't play that loud, though.
All right, they got us playing an even more fucked up song than the one we did last year.
I mean, at least
it's worth playing out.
Like, it's good. Got guitars in it. But this one, but we're going to make it pure gold. And you people are going to help us.
So give it a listen, because it's funny.
Song we're playing? Oh, you're going to hate it. Actually, Billy Ocean is performing the song All Way now. So I don't get that.
It's the car horn, which is so good. Hear it.
Brilliant.
Wait for the chorus.
Get out of my mind and into my life.
The good thing about this is, like, the place they're playing looks like it looks like a meeting room.
It's brilliant. And that every so often throughout, as you probably heard there, you hear a perp perp the car hall, because the drummer, who's dressed like a giant space beast, is playing the drums and squeezing in a little car horn at opportune moments. Brilliant. Anyway, I can't remember what we're talking about that. It's absolutely fantastic. Well worth a look, so Google it. We're going to do emails, weren't we? Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com to get in touch. George has been in touch. Says, hello, boys. I have no qualifications on the subject, but I'm fairly sure animals, in particular dogs, can smell pets on strangers. This is based on the thing I said last week, where it's just something people say. But can pets smell other people's pets, or is it like an urban myth? George goes on to say, I can say this with some confidence because I have a pet ferret.
Oh, I love a ferret.
Which lends me a general muskiness that even my friends can sometimes pick up on.
We had a little, when I used to look after the ferret at Twycross Zoo, I used to have a little lead for it, basically. And we used to walk around the
Hang
zoo
on,
with
you
it.
You used to look after the ferret?
I used to look after the ferret. Oh, I love that ferret. Probably dead now.
What was it called?
Can't remember. Ferret.
You used to walk around the zoo with it?
I used to walk around the zoo on a little lead.
Was it scared?
No, I was loving it, mate. Ferrets need a walk.
But do they love getting stroked or whatever?
Yes. It used to climb all over my body. I mean, ferrets are fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, they shouldn't... I don't know why they exist. There's no reason why they should exist, but they are beautiful little guys. But they used to have a little spray when it was getting stinky. You used to spray it. And it would cut down on its smell a little bit, because they do absolutely pong.
Yeah, well, George said it's not an entirely bad smell, but whenever I meet a new dog, they go mad and start running around my legs. I can't think of any other reason other than the ferret smell. Cats too can be wary around me, but as I have a cat as well, it could be because of that. Maybe one day I'll rub the ferret and the cat on different items of clothing and see which random creatures in the park react. Yeah, do that, George. Because, I mean, you know, if your friends are already telling you you stink like a ferret, then you might as well do it.
Does it mean that I'm a true northerner that I really want a ferret? Because they used to have them, a ferret and a whippet, didn't they?
It was kind of a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, you used to have a little ferret down your trousers.
It was a thing for a while that I think, to me it feels quite 80s.
Yeah, so they're probably a bit older than that.
Because people said the flat cap and the whippet.
Flat cap, whippet.
But do you have memories as a kid of seeing people with ferrets then?
Yeah, I think so. I think I used to see the bloke used to walk around with his ferret on him. He didn't have a lead though, he just used to be on him. You've got, I mean, that's very trustworthy, isn't it, of the ferret to not belt it.
Yeah.
But keep it, you know.
There was a guy in town, I think he might be a homeless guy, who used to have a cat with him, he used to sit on his shoulder all the time.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that's bizarre, because cat's behaviour is very, very opposite to that normally.
The guy in New York, turban man with a cat on his head, about 15 years ago, first time I went to New York, saw all the sights, but the only thing I could remember was a man walking down the street with a ferret on his cat on his head.
So, there we go. What about this email here from David, who said, this is quite a good one, Pete, actually, and we mentioned them on Monday briefly, but he says, he mentioned Albuquerque and how Luke hasn't been, but would like to at some point while discussing El Camino, which is the sequel to Breaking Bad. Mm. Last year, my son and I drove Route 66.
Oh, I've done that.
We had a brilliant
time.
It's
very old.
We'd encourage people to do that at some stage of their life. In Albuquerque, we did a Breaking Bad tour run by former extras from the show in a converted RV, exactly like the one they cooked meth in. Excellent tour, made really interesting and fun by the two hosts. One was a DEA agent in the show, and the other the waiter who handed around the poison drinks to the Mexican cartel around the pool. During the tour, they take you to loads of locations, including the laundry where they cook, Walt's house, the car wash, and Jesse's house. They even let off a smoke bomb so it looks like the RV is cooking, and also do spot quiz questions where the prize is a small bag of blue candy that looks like meth that Walt's made. All great harmless fun until, a couple of days later, we are in Winslow, Arizona, of the Eagles song Take It Easy fame, having a nice lunch in a packed diner on St. Patrick's Day when my son Michael dropped a bag of candy on the floor while we were talking to some middle-aged Americans. More than a little embarrassing, and I'm not sure they bought my explanation. We left as soon as we could. Albuquerque is a really top place, great food, weather, and friendly people. It's a bit out of the way, but worth a visit. And if you enjoy Breaking Bad, it will make you want to watch it again. I love your show and look forward to every podcast. Keep up the good work, David. So Albuquerque is well worth a visit. Have you been there, Peter?
I don't think I have, no. I've been close. But do you reckon, like, who made, not David Simon, who's the guy who made Breaking Bad?
Vince Gilligan.
Do you reckon, like, the people who make Breaking Bad are a bit like, oh, you're making money off my hustle, effectively?
It's probably fully endorsed, isn't it?
Why does it need to be, though?
Probably doesn't need to be, but I imagine Vince has got his finger in the pie. And if it's the tour I'm thinking of, Aaron Paul's done it. He's did it on Instagram, so then, and he was promoting it. So I imagine it's something to do with the actual thing.
But I just sort of think things like that. You sort of think, and there's probably rival ones as well. Probably unofficial ones that have other extras from Breaking Bad. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you do that? Awesome. Yeah. I would not want to live in Thingy's house though, because that would be a nightmare.
Jesse's house.
People would be throwing fucking pizzas on the roof and stuff.
Oh, that's at Walt's house, isn't it? I think there was an appeal for people to stop throwing pizza on the house because I think people live there now.
Yes.
Walt and Skyler's house in Breaking Bad, I'm fairly sure it's just a normal house.
Yeah.
And the people...
The interiors would be completely different as well. That's a funny thing.
Oh, what, because the interiors are shot elsewhere?
Yeah, it will be, won't it?
Well, it is generally speaking, isn't it? Like in EastEnders or whatever, but
you
I don't
know. You can just take a wall out, can't you?
Yeah.
I need to take a wall out.
I guess it needs certain specifications so you can actually shoot in there.
Yeah. Did you see the I was listening to the podcast that God, who is it? It's Pam and the blonde accountant from The Office. They were going through they started a podcast where they go through every episode of The Office basically and say what happened backstage and stuff.
Right.
And
what's it called?
I can't remember.
Is it just the Carnival production, Pete?
Let's say yes.
Okay. Just another example. Yeah, it's great content.
It's all right. It's quite weird that they talk about. But they sort of said like the first the pilot episode with a lot of TV shows, with every TV show in fact, because it's all done on set. They can just take a wall out to film a particular shot. But the pilot certainly was filmed in a functioning office. So everything was just kind of really shaky and dodgy and stuff like that.
I think that's what the UK, the Gervais Merchant one was, definitely.
Yeah. Cheap, affordable.
Have you got any emails there, Pete, or should I do another one?
Yes, I've got an email from Ant in Alicante, which is wonderfully sort of alliterative. And I believe his second name is Ashworth as well. Enjoyable. Hello, chaps. Some time ago, now you mentioned you'd seen The Staircase where the bloke goes on trial for pushing his missus down the stairs while claiming it was an accident.
This is Ant who complained last week about our pronunciation of the place Harwich.
Oh, right.
He was Ant from Alicante.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Carry on.
Suck it, Ant. and said that a few months later, when everyone had a chance to watch it, you'd comment on it. Well, I'd be quite interested in your comments and thoughts on the show because I found the bloke in question, Mike Peterson, to be intensely irritating and physically absolutely repulsive. Oh, and his daughters were a pair of fucking freaks as well.
My God.
A little bit much, isn't it?
Ant is just an angry bloke.
Angry Ant. He also goes on to say that I watched El Camino the other day. And while I liked it, what struck me most was how much timber both Aaron Paul and Jesse Plemons, Todd, were carrying.
Yeah, I noticed it with Todd. He's much bigger now, yeah.
I mean, we're all getting old, aren't we?
I know, but it takes you out of it a bit.
Does it?
Because El Camino clearly was a combination of new scenes and scenes that they'd obviously did not included in the first series.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, is it like a pre... I've not seen it. Is it like a... What was happening while other stuff was going on?
No, but it's what happens directly after the end of Breaking Bad, but it contains a lot of flashback scenes, which are blatantly scenes that...
Because they were...
used, and some of them are decent stuff, and it means that you get to see a couple of characters that you're excited to see. But the ones that weren't, it was clear that Todd particularly was a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Maybe because he pumped himself up for another role or because he just put on a bit of beef, I don't know.
He was
very
good in Fargo. He played a butcher.
I haven't seen that series of Fargo yet.
Yeah. The bloke, Mike Peterson. His neck, his skin, as he starts to get old, he just looks like he's going off a bit, that bloke.
But he has been in jail for like 12 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, we should be talking about
interesting
how people physically repulse us. I think that's a bit unnecessary.
What? And started it.
Yeah. But then you started talking about his papery skin.
Well, yeah, but I think his appearance is secondary to how fucking weird he is in the first place. Very strange.
There's a lot of weirdness going on there, yeah. I'm a big believer in the owl theory, though.
What?
In the staircase.
Oh, yes, yeah, apparently.
It's an interesting theory, that. It's interesting, man.
We're grabbing for whatever we can there, aren't we?
Owls grabbing. I look forward to hearing from you next week about what's angered you in subsequent
angry
shows to come.
Furious roundup every week.
Famously did the song at Scott and Charlene's wedding in Neighbours, of course.
Is that true?
It's Angry Anderson, isn't it?
Arne Anderson stabbed Sid Vicious. I got stabbed by Sid Vicious.
Right.
With scissors. Did you read a bit in the newspaper that once again people who... job and actor, you know, had a couple of had a role in EastEnders, had a role in, I think, Emmerdale, and now she is a
she works at B&M.
She works at B&M. And like, isn't that a horrible news story?
Oh, it's terrible.
They've done that a few times now.
Yeah, they have. I remember being
bizarre, absolutely bizarre.
I had a show with a guy called what was his name? I'm going to say Jeremy Edwards, who was in Hollyoaks.
Yeah.
Nice guy,
long time.
Normal guy, nice fella. And he said he had the same thing, and this was years ago. He told me this that he said that acting work dried up, getting a young son, I think, or a daughter at the time. So he went and did some labouring on a building site.
Yeah,
load of tabloid photographers turned up, and he was on the front page of the Sun, saying, "Jeremy Edwards, actor Edwards hits rock bottom." It's like, I wasn't really hitting rock bottom. I was doing like an honest day's work to pay to feed my family.
Yeah.
I don't really know why this is a story kind of thing. So it's been going on for years.
But also just the idea that people just don't seem to have any fucking idea about how much you get paid for a TV show. Hollyoaks is probably one of the few TV shows that pays because of just frequency. You do it all the time. You do it every week. But like most TV shows, you're in it for a few scenes, you get a couple of grand, and you fuck off home. Like it's really hard work. I would never want to do it. It's impossible.
And I also don't think, you know...
Got to have a few strings to your bow.
People can choose to read whatever newspapers they want, of course, but I think it's worth remembering that tabloid newspapers don't care about you. They pretend to be on the side of the working class, but they're not. They don't give a shit. So they care about selling newspapers. That's it. Mm. So the best way, and I had this conversation with my parents. My parents used to always take maybe the Sun. I think they used to take the Sun or the Mirror, maybe. I can't remember whichever paper it was. And the thing that really changed for them was when the news came out that Millie Dowler's phone had been hacked by a particular journalist at whatever newspaper it was. And it was the newspaper they currently took at the time. And I can't remember the one, but it was that one. And my parents sat down and were like, "Well, yeah, you know, that for us was the straw that broke the camel's back." And then they don't read it. No, I think they read The Eye or something. I can't remember. But
The Eye's because the rare occasion that my dad pretends he doesn't read the Daily Mail. He does read the Daily Mail.
But my parents. But they're what I'm saying here. What I mean, the reason I'm bringing it up is
You've
just purely
an extremist.
It's purely because they realised that was just the behaviour of it kind of writ large the behaviour of some people who work at newspapers.
And
the worst thing about it is, right, and I'm not saying that everyone who works at newspapers is like that, but just to get on my high horse for a moment with the Daily Mail, right, when you understand and have direct experience of these industries in whatever form, even if you just kind of brush past them and you know, and realise that actually 90% of the people who write for the Daily Mail are all London-based liberals, it shows you and should hit home to you exactly what their game is.
Yeah.
Because that the Daily Mail, I'm telling you now, is not populated by staff who believe the shit they're writing. Mm. They're just doing it because that's the editorial line of the paper and it's a job. They're all just like you and me.
Mm.
They're all London-based liberals, essentially. And as soon as you realise that's the game, it should mean that what you're doing is completely pointless and you're essentially being mugged off.
But it's interesting that the Millie Dowler thing was the turning point for your parents, because obviously, you know, that paper, or most papers in general, kind of have varying degrees of that, of getting into people's lives that don't necessarily deserve it. It's weird that the phone hacking was such a watermark for a lot of people. Because I know people who've also, you know, stopped taking that paper because of...
I'd be interested to see, Pete, if the circulation's gone down since that phone hacker thing. I bet it's back up to where it was before now.
Yeah, I think from what I heard, I think for the longevity of stuff like The Sun, I think they're starting to curb some of their more extreme behaviour just simply because advertisers, and it's how everything changes, it's advertisers losing their bottle on something.
I think they're trying to make that happen with Fox News and stuff as well. Mm. Anyway, let's get out of here, Pete. That's about time for us. I think we'll be back on Monday. Have a lovely weekend. We're going up to Leeds and Newcastle this weekend, so do come and find us if you want. RambleLive.com. Still some tickets available. If not, we'll talk to you next week. Have a lovely one. Cheers.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.